Welcome into the Galilean Men Podcast, episode 133. Today we are looking at the busyness of life. I think this was requested of us, is how to navigate the busyness of life.
It was, and, yeah.
You know, we talk quite a bit about being busy. We talk actually a lot about all these things we're supposed to do as men. We're supposed to work out and have a good prayer life and show up well for our families and you know, all these etiquettes as we're out and about doing all of these things and being the best at our job. And we talk about doing a lot of different stuff, which I'm not shying away from any of that. I think that's really, really good. What that does, though, is it causes us to feel sometimes like there's just a lot. Life is busy. We have now expanded our lives where there's this and this and this and this and this, and we have a dozen different things that we're looking to get done or that we're supposed to do or that we have kind of on our shoulders. And as men, we realize that we have a lot on our shoulders. Like we just do. You know, there's a significant weight that comes with being a godly man who's leading his family appropriately, yeah. Trying to be the best you can be at the jobs and everything that you do. And so with that idea, we got a request, and I'm sure probably this is what's behind the request, is how do you navigate those things? How do you navigate the busyness of life as we go forward?
Well, there's two sides to this, just as we kind of get started. One of those is that society and just families in general are just busier. There's more going on. There's more things to do. Your brother brought this up recently in one of our Bible classes, and kind of how people used to stop into people's houses and just to pop in, say hello, and hang out for couple hours. And yep. Like, nobody does that anymore because we have every hour of our day just completely mapped out and planned. And, you know, he brought it up kind of in like an idealistic, I wish we could go back to that type of way. And that would be really nice. I think our society with, first of all, I think extracurriculars for kids and like sports and theater and all that stuff, really, if you thrust your kids into all of that, then you're never going to have any time. I think people working, obviously, especially people who have their wife work, men and women who are both working, maybe you got side hustles, like it feels like there's never a time to take a break for anything. I mean, even my family's guilty. Like, you want to plan something with us, we kind of have to get it on the calendar and make sure that it's at least a week in advance, or it probably won't happen. But specifically what we're talking about today, the busyness of life for us as godly young men trying to balance everything, I think is definitely a tangent of the overall busyness, is that for us as dads, we're probably having to work a little bit harder, work more hours, even when we're not at work. Maybe we're doing something else, preparing for, you know, if you're a church-going person, if you're speaking at your church, class, sermon, whatever, again, side hustle, a lot of different options. There's time spent raising your kids. There's time spent exercising. There's time spent whatever, hobbies and things like that. And so I think it's a really important question. How do we navigate the busyness of life? How do we navigate, because we don't live in the prairie days anymore where right. It's basically work, sun up, sun down, and then you come home and it's kind of chill time for the rest of the night. Like, that just doesn't happen very much. And so before we get into it, Joe, I guess my first question is, like, how much of that do you think is a good thing versus a bad thing? I think it's generally looked at as a negative thing about, like, oh, we're just so busy. You'll hear older people say, oh, everybody's just so busy. I get what they're saying, and maybe it was better in the older days, but I also think there is something to just being intentional with your time and always doing something. I don't think it's quite as bad as people make it out to be. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first off, I think the business has led to industriousness. You look at industry and commerce and so much of what we have, like, that's because people are busy, because people have gotten busy doing a lot of different stuff, and people have had side hustles, and their side hustle becomes an AI startup that ends up making $1 billion, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, so the busyness is leading toward more things than ever. It's not just busy work a lot of time. It's especially in today's economy, a lot of people need this. And so, yeah, people are always busy. And I think there is a good part to this that people can find. We talked in the last episode about finding fulfillment in work. People can stay busy in good ways. On the other hand, I also think this is why we're seeing so many problems at home, is navigating both, to the point of this episode, being able to have both of those is really difficult. Like, people go all into work, or they go all into their family, and then they don't do anything, and then they're struggling in this economy, whatever it is. It used to be like the balance was almost, as you talked about, prairie days or whatever, almost given to you. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Yes, work was going to go based off of the sun, based off of movements, the movements of the earth and things like that. And you look at lunar calendars, and you look at the sun and the winter solstice and the summer solstice and the things that they built around. Like, that was a big deal back then, because that was the natural kind of the natural rhythm of life. Well, because now with the light bulb, anybody can work at 3 a.m. if they wanted to. So finding balance becomes that much more difficult to say, let's put the brakes on work. Well, no, because I could work until 1 a.m. Like, but you're not supposed to. You never were meant to do that. On the other hand, again, there's clear benefits to us being able to do it. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Yeah. I don't think by and large we're better for it as humanity in terms of taking care of family and things like that. But I also think everything was leading to this to some degree to begin with.
I was going to say, you see like Sundays, for instance, or used to be very much, it was a day of rest. Like, yeah, people didn't do anything. Absolutely. Stores were closed. Now everywhere pretty much is open. It's the most highest revenue day for restaurants generally because people are going out to eat. And so it's just become another day for a lot of people, which stuff like that I think is negative. But let's go ahead and get into Joe. We got a lot of things to cover here.
Yep.
These are kind of our general tips, and I'll preface it. I don't want to speak for Joe. I'll preface it to say, like, I have not fully mastered this. I would like to say that I'm decent at it, but it's always going to be a struggle. Like, specifically guys who are young with families, when you've got a lot of energy, you're probably not even at the peak of your career necessarily, but, like, the peak of your working days of your career. Like, you are putting in a lot of hours. You're working really hard. But I would like to think that we both have some experience here, but it is a challenge every day, every week, I would say. But the first tip that we would have is to prioritize appropriately. Prioritize appropriately. So if you think about your life as kind of like different buckets, right, or kind of different spokes on a wheel, or however, whatever metaphor you want to kind of mentally picture it as, there's a lot of things. There's physical exercise. There's obviously your walk with God and spirituality and, you know, time in the Word, time in prayer. There's time with your family. There's meal times with your family. There is your career. There is the obviously the time you spend at work. Maybe the time you spend outside of work. Maybe you're in school. Maybe you're starting a side hustle. Maybe you are you got friends that you want to spend time with. You got a hobby that you want to pursue. You want to learn an instrument. You want to get good at a sport. You want to work at your church. Serve at your church. Like, I could keep going on and on about all the things that we the time, the buckets that we put our time in. Prioritize appropriately. This is very difficult to do because we can't just say, like, obviously it goes without saying your walk with God should be of the highest importance. But after that, it might look different for everybody. You might not have a family. So what's the next ranked thing for you? Is it school? Is it your job? It's going to be different for everybody. But the first thing Joe's got on here, and then I'll hand it to you, Joe, is don't spend all of your time working on a meaningless task. You need to have a pretty good grasp of, like, what is the most important thing in my life right now? What's the next most, next most, next most? And for the most part, your time should pretty well reflect that list.
Right. Man, the useless, meaningless things are the easy things, which is why we do them a lot. So I think about, I'm the worst at this. You know, we're having somebody over, whatever it is. You know, we had you guys over, and I'm out cleaning something that my wife comes out like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. It needed to be done. Like, that doesn't need to be done right now.
Yeah.
There are priorities. They're coming over. We need this done, this done, this done. And it's not always that bad, but sometimes I can get into it and it's like it was a meaningless thing kind of, but it kind of mattered to me and it was kind of important and it needed to be done, but probably not now. That's exactly that, which is like we can fill our calendars and fill up our entire days with things that needed to be done, but if we're really dialed in on our priority list, probably not. Probably not. It's the meaningless tasks that are so easy to do, and so we gravitate toward those, but when we can keep the priority at the top of the list, you know, top of mind, I think that helps us make our to-do list a little easier. What does have to be done, and why does it have to be done? And if we can keep those two things together, the how and the why, or what and the why, I think that really helps, because I have on here, make a to-do list and just watch things roll off the list. I love that starting small, and you may say those are the meaningless things, but starting small and being able to check a ton of things off the list as we kind of work toward, we want to make sure we have time for our family. Okay, what do I need to do in that time? I want to prioritize the things that are going to allow me to have time for my family later. And if I'm too busy doing dumb stuff, then I'm not going to have time. Well, that's all priorities. We have to get the priority list right. Make a to-do list of everything that you have that as a somewhat of a priority. And then if you want, you can check them off the list. You can either color code or you can go 1 to 10 or whatever on like what is the most important thing that I have to get done in order to feel good about myself, to be fulfilled. We talked about last episode. And to make sure that I'm prioritizing my family, my God, whatever it may be. And then you can start checking off that list as well.
I love the to-do list point. It reminds me of like Dave Ramsey's famous for the debt snowball method, yep, which is instead of paying off, trying to tackle the largest one first, tackle the smallest debt that you have first and then pay that off. And then once you take the money you were paying into that and put it in the next thing. And his point is like your brain, you start to get kind of mental momentum because I paid off that debt. Cool, yep, let me roll on the next one. Then you pay off the second one. You're like, man, I can conquer the world. And it just kind of snowballs into you paying off everything. That's kind of what I think of like with to-do lists, like even simple stuff, like put it down. There's something in your brain about checking off a list that really can just propel you to keep going. And yeah, keep checking more things off your to-do list, which is great. Joe, why don't you get us in the next, I don't want to take all the points. Get us in the next one. I'll comment on
it. Yeah, because this goes right along with it. I kind of spoke to it. Dial in your work time. Dial in during your work time. Make the time count. If you're going to work, make it count. There's so many guys that like, and I used to do this, I was pretty bad about it. Obviously not necessarily during sessions, but
when I hope not.
Yeah, when I was sitting down for sermons or whatever it is that I needed to write, or I was writing articles or I was working on something. Well, let me just check Facebook, or let me check X, or whatever
ESPN,
it may be,
real fast. Yeah.
ESPN, you know, YouTube, and then you just go down this rabbit hole, and you'd realize, like, man, I have to catch up on this later. I'm doing work at 9:30 p.m. Why is that? Well, maybe because at 8 a.m. when I was doing this, I wasn't doing it. I was mindlessly doing it. I really wasn't dialed in on that, and so by the time I got around, I realized I didn't get done what I needed to get done, and it felt like I was working all the time. But in reality, was I really working at 8 a.m. or at 10 a.m. or whenever that may be?
You might have sat there for 3 hours, but done correct. 45 minutes worth of work.
So I'm away from my family, and I'm, you know, I want to make sure that I'm prioritizing them, but I'm not really prioritizing them, because I knew that if I got off at 6 p.m., I was going to have that night. Well, now I don't, because I wasn't dialed in during work. And so make the most of your work life. Make it count as much as possible. When you sit down, like, whatever helps you get done, whether that be, you know, the Freedom app is what I use, where it, like, blocks all of these websites during the workday. You can do parental controls or, you know, restrictions or whatever through the iPhone. I think Apple or Google Play Store has that as well. And so, you know, things like that, use tools if necessary to really structure your day and make sure that when you're sitting there, you're actually getting work done, and that helps on the back end.
A simple example of this just from my life is, so I've got obviously a job. I work at Chick-fil-A. I'm the operations director, and so that's time that's spent there. But outside of that, I've got, you know, editing this podcast, other stuff that I do, and I have found that if I go home to do that, it ends up being a little bit longer because the kids want to play, and I, you know, I might work for 20 minutes and then I got to, you know, hold a kid or got to help out with this, help out with that. And it, that work ends up taking me about twice as long versus what tends to work better for me is, like, I, you know, if I'm done at Chick-fil-A, then I'll go to a coffee shop or something and just dial in, as Joe said, for about 2 hours, knock it all out. I can go home and kind of put it away for the night. And, you know, again, that's just my life, my example, but, like, that's been really helpful is if you're kind of, you know, you see those computers where you have about 4 or 5 different windows open and you're just not quite as productive that way. Keep one window open, close it out, and then go home. And then that works well for me to just, once again, dial in so that I'm not distracted by this, distracted by that. And so then you end up sacrificing your family time. I put on the list as a part of this, like, just be intentional with all of your time. Yep. I'm a big believer in that. You can maybe go too far with, like, scheduling out every hour of your day, I suppose. But, you know, I'm a big believer in, like, if I've got a sermon to write, I need to go ahead and plan out during the week, when am I going to write this sermon? Don't make it a matter of, I'm sure I'll find time, or even scheduling family time I've had to do before. But just being really intentional with it instead of, I'll just kind of figure it out as I go, I think that's a really helpful thing for navigating the busyness of life, is being very intentional with everything that you have to get done, and maybe even everything that you want to get done as well.
Yeah, go ahead and get us number 3.
Yeah, so the next one that you have, I'm a big believer in both of these as well. You got to have a good morning and a good night routine. Man, if I could give these golly young men, if I could grant them one thing on this list, I think it would be this, because this is where maturity and immaturity really comes out.
Yeah.
Mature guys, mature godly young men are going to have a pretty good morning and a pretty good night routine. Immature ones are not. What do I mean? What do we mean by that? Well, the first thing is, for the good morning routine, are you waking up at the last possible second before you have to get out the door? You know, you got to be at work at 8, and so you got to leave by 7:45, and man, you are hopping out of bed at 7:40, brushing your teeth, throwing a brush through your hair, and then hopping in the car and going. Or maybe you do take a little bit more time to get ready, and you're like, okay, I got to shower, so 7:15. Man, give yourself some time, get up. If you're not having to be at work at 8, like, get up and exercise, do get a workout in, some time with God. Some guys, you know, I've got days where I got to be there at 5:30, so there's not quite as much time on the back end of the day. But I'm a big believer, at least for the morning, and I'll let you speak to the nighttime, of give yourself time to kind of mentally prepare for the day. If you're waking up, hopping straight in the car and going straight to work or going straight to school or whatever, you're just not going to be as mentally prepared for the day. You're going to forget something. You're going to, I don't know, just not be as prepared. And so that's where I'll kind of plant my flag on the good morning routine, is like an hour early. Like, if you got to leave at 7:30, Be up at 6:30. Be up at 6 even. Again, get a workout in, get a lot of these things done. We've had episodes before on conquering your morning. It's a really important part of navigating this business of life is, man, don't sleep in to the last possible second because you're just wasting time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge night owl, and so...
I am as well.
Morning time is really difficult. Undoubtedly, it is. My wife and I have talked about this. It is the most important part of our routine because it unlocks everything. If we are late waking up, if the kids wake us up, which is usually if they do, it's 7 a.m., it's really rough. You know, it's really rough getting out of bed when we're already chasing the day. So get the morning routine right. But nighttime just as much. Like, if you are burning the candle on both ends because you're staying up late and you're trying to wake up early, you can only do that for so long. Take it from me. I have tried this a decent amount, only to learn it does not
work. Sleep is so important.
Sleep is incredibly important. Sleep is good for cognitive functioning. It helps your body restore everything. You know, it's good for healing, especially if you're working out. Your butt muscles really need that time. For us guys, it's great for testosterone. 7 to 9 hours is, like, pivotal to really build testosterone. And I'll be honest, like, me getting more than 6 hours of sleep a night, 6.5 hours, is pretty rare. Not good. Not good. You know, you want to make sure. So again, I'm kind of out myself there. You want to make sure that you're able to do it. What you have to be aware of is there's a specific term for it called sleep revenge procrastination. And the idea is, I didn't get any time to myself throughout the day, and so I'm going to make it up on the back end. Especially when, you know, I got four kids, like, by the time we get them down.
Veg time, essentially.
Yeah, I woke up, I went to the gym first thing, I came home. They were already there. Went to, like, not to tell you my whole schedule, but, like, we eat breakfast, we do Bible time together. Then I jump, I usually get ready for the day, you know, go take a shower from the gym, get ready for the day, jump right into work. Then I start clients, then I go until late, then I come in, I eat dinner, I play with the kids, we go to put them down. This goes until probably 9, 9:30. So from the moment I wake up at like 5:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. is pretty dialed in most days. Therefore, how easy is it for me to go, man, 9:30, I've had zero time to myself. My wife and I are gonna watch a TV show. 10:30. Then, oh, we're gonna watch another one. 11:30. Now we're gonna get in bed. Midnight. Now I'm gonna waking up at 5:30 again. 5:30. So yeah. This is how it goes. You gotta be aware of that sleep revenge procrastination, is what they call it, where you are building that time on the back end, giving it to yourself. If you really want to navigate the busyness of life, be very, very careful with that. Try to build out small moments throughout the day. Me going to the gym in the morning, listening to podcasts, getting prayer in. You know, trying to meditate when I get home, saying no to the kids for 15 minutes or whatever, or shortening, you know, breakfast time with them, shortening it a bit so I have a tad bit of time to myself. Whatever it may be, I don't want to lose that on the back end, because that's what kicks this into, I'm waking up late, my routine is completely off, now I'm making bad decisions food-wise. All of these things, like, if I want to get everything done, I have to make sure I'm dialing in my nighttime so I can get up on time. So don't burn the candle on both ends.
This is where, like, I'm about to be in trouble, because it's almost football season, and I very much enjoy watching football. I've been missing it. I'm excited that it's about to be back. I preach, and I need to preach more at myself, I suppose, about get in bed early, but also put your screen away at least 20, 30 minutes before you go to sleep. All the studies that show, like, if you're staring at your phone or even the TV.
They say an hour.
And then immediately go right to bed. Like, it's just bad for you. And so, obviously, if you're married, time with your spouse, reading time, like, there's just – yeah, it needs to be structured is what I'll say. Like, yep. It doesn't need to be sporadic. But moving on into rhythms, Joe, I'm going to let you introduce this one. This was, I think, your theme for the year. If it was it this year? Maybe it was last year. I know you talked about rhythms quite a bit. Talk to us about our fourth thing, which is rhythms are your friend.
Yeah, embrace the mundane was kind of my theme for the year.
That's right. That's what
I always like, you know, going
embrace
to the,
monotony. Yeah, we did an episode on that.
That's what it is. Embrace monotony. Yeah. See, that's terrible. To remember my own theme. Mundane monotony.
It's only August. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You see how that one went. No, but truly, this year has been much better because I've embraced the idea of rhythms. Rhythms are your friend, and the idea is have a set time for exercise. Have, you know, your walk with God, whatever it may be. Like, you want to have as many things dialed in where it is mindless. And what I mean by mindless is not that you're not intentional, but that you don't have to think about this. And they talk about this, like, in Building Atomic Habits is a great book. And he talks about, you want as many things that you don't have to think about so you can automate the process as possible. This is why Steve Jobs had a bazillion turtlenecks in his, you know, like, he literally bought like 12 of the same shirt and the same pair of jeans. That's all he wore because it was one less decision. I wake up, boom, I don't have to think about what I have to put on. And so it gives all brain processing power to something else. Streamline that. Get into rhythms. My wife and I have the same, you know, on Mondays is going to be oatmeal for breakfast. Tuesdays is going to be, I think it's eggs and or it's toast and
oh,
yogurt.
Oh, that's cool. Wednesday, like a preset menu.
So every single day of the week, we pretty much know what we're waking up to eat. That's one less thing we have to think about. So when you get into rhythms, nighttime rhythms, okay, I know what my nighttime routine is pretty much going to look like. The kids have the same nighttime routine every single time.
It's very important for kids, yeah.
It's incredibly important for kids. It's really good for us to know that we have automated things where we don't have to make a decision on everything. This burns you out faster than anything is if every single decision of my day I'm really having to put thought and time and effort into. You brush your teeth, right? We brush our teeth. You don't think twice. You just do it. How? It's a rhythm. It's a habit. You're just used to doing this, and so you don't have to think about, I mean, do I need to brush my teeth today? It's like, I already did it. You know what I mean? It just is what it is. Structure as many of those into your life as possible if you want to navigate busyness.
Yeah, that's really good. The next one is lean on others. I think it's number 5, I believe. Lean on others. It might be an interesting one because in navigating the busyness of life, you might argue, well, like, dealing with other people is part of what makes my life so busy. But this is where I think you kind of zoom out a little bit about what is really, really important. And obviously, as we've talked about last episode and previous episodes, like, work is important. Pursuing great things is important. But ultimately, other people are what kind of bring vitality to life, your relationships with other people. And so I'll speak to the second one that I put on there, Joe, and then I know you had some thoughts on this. What I put on there is nourish your relationships. Make sure that, and I think this is, again, one of the key ways to navigate this busyness is so that you don't look up and realize, I mean, I think it's Gen X men are pretty well known for this. Like, they don't have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
They don't have very deep relationships. They got their maybe golfing buddy, obviously coworkers, but like no true friends. Well, when you work your whole life with your head down, not really worrying about other people or nurturing or nourishing your relationships, that's what happens. And so that's why I put that on there is like friendships with other people, friendships, especially as you get married and have kids, like you're going to want your kids to have friends. Like, nourish those relationships because it's going to be that. It's going to, I don't know, again, bring vitality to the busyness of life. Even if it means you have another event to go to or somebody invited you over, like, I do think that's important. Kind of a weird one to include on here, but leaning on others is kind of the overall point. What other thoughts do you have
on that?
No,
I think it's good. I think the idea of sharing tasks, setting boundaries with people, but also sharing tasks with others. Let other people help you. You have to let other people in and say, I cannot take this. Would you mind please getting this done for me? Whatever it may be, whether that be your parents or siblings or spouse or, you know, asking friends or whatever it may be. Like, you don't want to be the guy who's perpetually leaning on everybody who doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
On the other hand, us as godly young men, a lot of times the lone wolf syndrome sets in where it's like, I got to do this and this and this and this and this. And nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody sees what all you're dealing with, what all you're handling. And you're not asking for help because, that's weak to ask for. It's not weak to ask for help, to say, can you please help with XYZ? So I think that's important. And the other thing that I had on here is just be open and honest with your wants and your needs from other people. Because you can feel like you're on an island. And this is one way to really, again, as we talk about navigating busyness, it seems superfluous. It seems a little bit weird to have this on there for like, well, why is it important for me to be open and honest and to be raw with others when we're talking about navigating busyness? Because you need other people to see, not in a wallowing way, but to kind of see what you're dealing with, to see what you're going through. It helps for other people to be able, you know, we were talking off air about what's been going on in our lives a little bit recently. Like, that's a really good habit to get into because it lessens that burden a little bit to be like, yeah, man, he's struggling with the same stuff. He knows. And so people can then help you a little bit. They can offer advice. They can commiserate with you. They can pray for you. They can be there for you and uplift you and encourage you in moments of need. So you're not always weighed down by the busyness of life. Let those things out. Talk to people and be honest about it.
Number 6 we have on the list is acknowledge your long-term goals and vision. My thought with this one, I think this is one that I put down as well, is if you are so kind of laser focused and kind of tunnel vision on every single day and what's next in front of me, what have I got next week, what have I got this week, if you never zoom out and realize for, mainly let's talk about for your career for a second, your job. If you never kind of zoom out and say, okay, what am I working towards? Do I have a goal in mind? Do I have a certain promotion I'm working towards? Or do I want to open my own business? Do I want to take the next step here? Like, I think it's important as you kind of think about working with your head down to kind of look up and look around a bit every now and then. I think it helps you stay grounded in what you're doing day to day. Otherwise, if you're just doing the same thing day to day, week to week, that could lead to burnout very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That can be exhausting. That can be like, man, what am I working for here? I think people who have a clear, again, maybe not even goals, or when we put it, like vision of like, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be with my family. This is the amount of time I want to spend with my kids when they hit this age. I want to help with the homeschooling. I want to, again, start my own business or whatever it is. it helps with the day-to-day, the busyness, if you can kind of, again, poke your head up, look around a little bit, metaphorically speaking, and say, oh, that's right, that's my goal. That's the vision that we have. That's what we're working towards to, again, pay off our house or whatever it is. I think it's really important to make sure that you are acknowledging your long-term goals and vision.
Well, I love this. I think that's the I don't have a ton more to add to that. I think you wrapped that up really well. It is really important to maintain the big picture, see the forest for the trees, because you can get bogged down in the day-to-day very quickly of like, oh my goodness, it's just go.
Another work day.
What am I, as you said, what am I doing this for? If you can't answer that question consistently, what am I doing this for? You will burn out and you're going to stop doing it altogether. Yeah. So just keep a, you know, you don't have to live above the trees all the time. Like, life takes place in the midst of the
forest.
Which
is the next one, yeah.
Right. But it's important to do that. And so if you are in the midst of the forest, yes, pop your head out, forest for the trees. If you're in it, next one, cherish everyday moments. This one, Will added, I love this. Cherish everyday moments. We cannot always live our lives waiting for that, the, you know, the 2 weeks of vacation every few months or whatever it is, or even waiting for the weekend. We talk about living for the weekend. You can't always wait for that next high of life. And man, this is really difficult when you get super busy. Like, if I can just
get me to Saturday.
Yeah, that next month, you know, I got a vacation coming up, or I got a, hey, we got Columbus Day or whatever, and I get that off, and we're going to take an extra day, and I just can't wait for that time. Like, okay, you are living in burnout. I have done this consistently. So believe me when I say you're living in burnout, that's really not healthy. We want to be people that are cherishing every little day moments along the way, and not getting so bogged down with life that we forget to just see the, you know, see the beauty of the forest around us, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm a very big believer in this, because I've said before, it definitely starts in your teenage years and even goes all the way through like your college years of like, a lot of your life is fun. A lot of your life is hanging out with friends, is watching Netflix, is going to hang out with people, is going out to eat, for goodness sakes, you're going on dates with people. It's like a lot of fun. And then once you kind of settle in, have your family or whatever, get married and really start your career, you kind of realize like, oh, wait, my days of like every single night ending in something really, really fun is kind of over. Like, right. That's not what life's right. about. And so that's why I put on here kind of something that the sooner you realize this as a godly young man, the more fulfilling, talked about last week, your life's going to be is like, yeah, I'm not always going to get to end the night with my favorite Netflix show. I'm not always going to get to go on 4 trips every single summer. I see people that I work with, you know, high schoolers, of course, who are in that stage of life where, man, 3 or 4 vacations a summer, which is super. They got camp and
enjoy
this.
Enjoy that,
like,
man.
Man, I remember those days. It was really fun. That's not where I'm at right now. It's where, and that's also typically what life is about. And so cherish those moments. Cherish that cup of coffee in the morning. Cherish that 12-minute car ride into work where you either maybe get some prayer time with God, or you get to listen to your favorite podcast, or if you have kids, the special moments with your kids playing out back, or just the wonderful conversation you had with your wife, the phone call with a friend, the time maybe you did get to go out and play around a golf or whatever it is. Like, and I guess that's not really an everyday moment, but like, cherish kind of those smaller everyday moments where you're not always looking for the high of the vacation or the dopamine hit or whatever it is.
And that's key, is the dopamine hit is, you know, sometimes we need the dopamine reset. This is really scary for porn addicts, because we don't really register dopamine at a certain level until we hit pretty much that. We want to reset that as much as possible, so the smell of the flower and the beautiful sunset and the birds chirping, you know, the sound of the birds chirping and all of those things, the smell of the freshly mown grass and whatever it may be. Like, I love those little things. And you gotta just appreciate the little moments. Try to do a dopamine detox, dopamine reset as much as possible, so you can begin to enjoy those things, the reading of a book, the feel of a hot shower, whatever it may be. And that leads us to the last one, which is, and it kind of goes hand in hand, but it make time for fun.
All this work is important.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, or whatever you know the phrase is. I think that's what it is. You know, one of those old things. Like, unfortunately, in the busyness of life, we can have it chock full of everything but fun. And it kind of goes to the last 2 points, which is you got to be able to see the forest for the trees. What am I doing this for? You also have to be able to enjoy the day by day moments, but make some time for fun because this can be the first thing that's neglected. In all honesty, this can be the first neglected piece when you're thinking about, man, I got to get the kids here, and I got to do this for my wife.
I got to study.
Relationship with God, and I got my job, and I've got, you know, other obligations to the church or other obligations to friends or whatever it may be. Fun just goes out the window. And then you realize, man, I just went a month without ever really doing anything fun, ever having, you know, just these moments going golf or who knows what, you know what I mean? Going and playing laser tag or going to the zoo with the kids, or watching a football game because it's all dialed in. It's work, 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 work. that is not a recipe for healthy success.
Yeah, I think for a healthy, balanced life, you do make time for fun. And this speaks to, which is, I know it's difficult for Joe specifically with kind of, he owns his own business, he's his own boss. And even, you know, again, I'm not quite there, but I've got kind of different irons and different fires. It can be very difficult to leave your work at the office or leave your work in your outside shed office, so to speak. And so you go home, you're thinking about work, you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that, and night's over and you haven't really enjoyed yourself all that much. And again, I don't think it needs to be a matter of a, you know, movie night every single night or anything like that. But I do think you need to do everything you can to kind of compartmentalize, and family time is family time. We're going to have a fun night tonight. We're going to play games as a family. We're going to have some people over and play games. We're going to, you know, whatever it is, maybe go see a movie. Like, I know maybe some of the stuff we're saying might sound self-contradictory. It's really not. It's all about kind of our buzzword for the last two episodes, balance. There's got to be balance in a life where you do something that you enjoy or that your family enjoys once a week is pretty out of balance, in my opinion. Again, even if it's for 30 minutes, you sit down and you read a book because you like to read a book, or you watch a YouTube video or whatever it is. Like, you need to have some time for that. It doesn't need to be 3 hours of your day, but you need to you need to spend some time doing that.
Spend some time, Google life balance wheel or something along those lines. I think you'll see, because what will come up is like a pie chart basically of all of these areas of life, life wheel balance, whatever it is, something along those lines. If you type those words in, I'm sure it'll come up. Maybe we can share something if we find it with a link, or we'll share it to the Discord. But either way, that'll give you a pretty good understanding of the quadrants or the different areas of life that you need to look into and say, what can I work on? What is taking all of my time and what is getting absolutely neglected? And you go off usually a 1 to 10 scale for each thing. And then it shows you as you go around this wheel, like, whoa, I'm really out of balance. I'm not spending any time with my wife and kids, or I'm not spending any time on hobbies, or I'm not spending any time. And that doesn't make it easy to get out of, but it does tell you what area probably needs the most work and what you need to start scheduling time with, set some boundaries around, whatever it may be. I think that's really, really important. So we realize this is not an easy episode in terms of navigating busyness. We're trying to give you some helpful hints.
It's hard for us every week, yeah.
It is incredibly difficult for us. I have not mastered this in the least, because it seems like the moment you get something going, the moment something else ends up taking precedence or whatever it is. And so this is a constant growth process of how do we navigate this to the best of our ability, and why navigate it at all? Because we're trying to live life in a way that is balanced, trying to give our best to our family, give the best to God, and ultimately be at our best for ourselves. I think we are worth it as well. We have to make sure that we are enjoying life as we go. And so, you know, Solomon says all is vanity. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's kind of his conclusion, part of his conclusion in Ecclesiastes. We talked about that last week of when all has been heard. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments. But throughout the book, he's telling us eat, drink, and be merry. Make time for the goodness of life. You can fill it up with all sorts of stuff, but if you're not enjoying it as you go, man, what's the purpose?
God desires for us to enjoy our life. He does. Right. Again, shouldn't be all fun, shouldn't be, you know, all play and no work or anything like that. God wants you to enjoy your life. I think sometimes that message can get twisted with, you know, whether it be Gnosticism or you know, people that say, oh, you got to just 8 hours a day reading your Bible and any fun is bad. Yeah, like
Stoicism.
Yeah, Stoicism. Yeah. God wants you to enjoy your life. And so a life that is properly balanced, there's that another meme kind of going around of like the new rich is like healthy kids, dinners at home, homemade meals, you know, time with your family, job that you love, like kind of, it's just kind of a reshifting of perspective of like, that's a life that you enjoy, not a life where you're at the beach every other week, but where you have time to enjoy yourself, but you're also able to navigate the business of life through all these things, through rhythms, through understanding your vision, through the cherishing the moments, all the things we've already talked about. That's a life worth living and an enjoyable life. That's all I've got.
That's a great wrap. That's a great wrap.
That's all I've got.
Yeah, so this has been episode 133 of the Godly Amen podcast. Let us know your thoughts. Share them, YouTube, Discord. Join the Discord. If not, reach out to us, and we will make sure to add you. If you have not joined the Discord already, we also have merch. Remember, go get the merch. I think that's all. We don't really give a whole lot of PSAs these days. But either way, we hope that you've enjoyed listening to this. And once again, let us know your thoughts. But this has been episode 133. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.